Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and thankfully by the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the disciples go fishing. Peter says, I'm going out to the water. And the other disciples say, okay, we'll come with you. So they get in Peter's boat and they fish all night long. They don't catch a thing. Nothing. After a whole night of it, these professional fishermen have got nothing to show. And then when the sun begins to rise and fill the sky with light, they hear a voice from the shore. Children, do you have any fish? Is this guy joking with us? No, we don't have any fish. And then the guy from the shore says, try the other side. Somehow, when this voice from the shore speaks, the hearts of these disciples are filled with some kind of trust. You'd never really fish from the right side of the boat. It's just not what you did. And so, for whatever reason, they trust the words that they hear and they throw the net into the water. And all of a sudden, the water begins to roil. Their nets tug. There are so many fish splashing and swimming everywhere. You can smell the aroma of it. There is just too many fish to even bring into the boat. And then there's the disciple whom Jesus loved, the beloved John. John sees all of a sudden in the midst of the cacophony, the violence going on in the water, John sees that the voice who spoke to them was Jesus. So he taps Peter and he says, Peter, it's the Lord. And Peter, in Peter-like fashion, snaps to action. He puts on his clothes, dives into the water, and swims 100 yards to meet Jesus. Now, the other disciples were aware that they had a perfectly functional boat that they were going to take to see Jesus. So the other disciples, indeed, they kept their fish. They bring it all to shore. And there they meet Jesus. And when they get to shore, they see that Jesus has prepared a charcoal fire, and on the fire was some fish, some bread. He says, let's eat. By the way, do you guys want to bring some of the fish that you've caught? Peter again snaps to action. Sopping wet, Peter runs over to the boat and he picks up the net of fish that all the other disciples could not lift into the boat. Peter picks it up and hauls it over to where the charcoal fire is at, and no doubt he lays it down with a big man grunt. Ugh! Here it is. It's about 250 pounds, maybe 300 pounds of fish. Jesus is probably thinking, well, that'll do. That'll be enough. And we're thinking, as we've kept company with Jesus, we've seen what he's done with 2 fish and 5 loaves. What can be done with 153 fish? The disciples are all gathered around the charcoal fire, and they're looking into the face of Jesus, their risen Savior, their Lord, the man who conquered death. How did he do it? This is the third time they've seen him. And no doubt their hearts are filled with awe. And of course, with faith. And yet Peter can remember the last time that he was next to a charcoal fire. The last time Peter was by some coals, he denied Jesus three times. Three times people asked him, "You know this Jesus?" "No, I don't know the guy." "You sure? You sound like you're from Galilee." "I don't know him." "Surely you know him." "I swear, I do not know this man." And then, of course, the rooster crowed. And Jesus looks into the eyes of his friend, Peter. Peter, who once said to his friend Jesus, "I'll die for you if that's what it takes." But here, Peter fails. Can Peter confess that Jesus is his Lord with that kind of baggage, that kind of history? Can they be friends again? How do you make it through that? When Peter dove into the water off of the boat and swam 100 yards with his coat on, and then when he manhandled a few hundred pounds of fish, we can see in him that he's ready to prove something. He's there with 110%. "Never again will I deny Jesus. I'm here to prove it. I'm strong. I've got what it takes." And yet Jesus seems uninterested in Peter's strength, in Peter's great willpower, and Jesus asks a question that gets right to the heart. I'm going to put the lid over here. Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Of course. I'm drawn to you as a friend. I want to be by you." Another time, Jesus says, "Peter, son of John, do you love me?" "Lord, of course. I'm drawn to you. I want to be by you. I want to be your friend." And then on the third time, see the parallel. Jesus speaks to Peter and he says, "Peter, Simon, son of John, are you drawn to me? Do you love me like a friend?" And of course, Peter's heart in that moment is again filled with great emotion. Peter can see that Jesus three times is looking at Peter and saying, "Yes, I will love you, Peter. And for each time you've denied me, I will forgive you, Peter. Let's live life together. I forgive you." After each one of these times that Jesus asks Peter if he loves him, and then Peter says whatever Peter says, Jesus then has a command or an invitation. He says to Peter, "Feed my lambs, tend the sheep." "Feed the sheep, Peter." From that moment on, Peter would no longer need to be concerned about Peter's willpower, his strength. He would no longer need to be worried about what Peter could produce to make things right between himself and Jesus. No, Jesus is saying, "Peter, I want you to love whomever I send you to. Nurture them. Share the forgiveness that I extend to you now, Peter. Love them. For at that moment, the church is about to be built, a church of people from all nations, all languages, who at one time were of all kinds of different religions and backgrounds and orientations, and Jesus was gathering them together into one flock to be loved. Therefore, friends of Jesus, this morning, I declare to you, whatever it is that may try to get in the way of you being convinced that Jesus loves you, whatever is in your past, whatever moments of struggle or addiction you have had, the Lord will continue to look you in the eye and say, I love you. I forgive you. Now go love others. Tend the flock. Nurture them. Walk beside them. Love them. For true strength in the way of Jesus is shown through the capacity to love others. That's where the story will take us. And so the Lord says to Peter, follow me. And he says to you this morning, follow me wherever the journey goes, whatever the people you meet, follow me. And let's love them together. Amen? Amen. Now may this Jesus, the one who has conquered death, continue to fill your hearts with peace, a peace that cannot be understood. And may this peace guard your hearts and minds in this same Jesus, now and forever. Amen. Let's rise together now and confess our faith using the Apostles' Creed. We confess together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge both the living and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. We continue with our hymn of the day.